Good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. But we'll be going back and forth throughout the entire message in Romans 5, 12. And also go back to page 2 in your Bible. Should be about what it is in mine. Unless you got one of them family trees in the front and all marriage certificates and all that stuff, then it might be a little bit farther. But that's what it is for me. While you're turning to those two passages, just on this one, just a hair down. Just a hair down, if you don't mind. While you're turning there, I wanted to tell you I'm excited to be back with Jonathan. Last time I was with him, he was a student pastor in Bridgeport, right? And then, so it's good to be with him again. But I've been looking forward to this, seeing what God's going to do. My best friend, when he came down, and he's also my front man and one of my board members, Wayne, he was telling me how these folks, they love Jesus. They want to see people saved. And man, that's what it's all about. We just got back from, I was in Cowboy Church of Corsicana last week. And we had, just last week at Cowboy Church, we had a minimum. Now, they couldn't find all the cards, but we had at least 250 saved. We baptized for the week 200 folks minimum. And he has about 30 lined up to be baptized this morning. And I can't tell you how many church members came up to me and apologized to me and apologized to the pastor over and over and over again. Pastor, we didn't believe you. You said you were going to have over 1,000 people here. We didn't believe you. Man, this is incredible. We've never seen this before. Now, we're not going to have 1,000 here, okay? So don't be freaking out, having heart attacks, and not coming back. But we will pack the place out. I'm just letting you know right now, this is going to be packed out. And you're going to say, no, there's no way. I'm telling you right now, we are going to pack the place out. We are going to see people saved that you would never have believed would get saved. Last week at Corsicana, we had a guy that had a warrant out for his arrest. And they'd been looking for him, couldn't find him. He came to church on Wednesday night, came forward, was saved, and was baptized. And the police chief's two teenagers were right behind him getting saved and baptized at the same time. So don't tell me this is not going to happen or it can't happen. Matter of fact, at Cowboy Church of Corsicana, what we had to do was, because we had so many people there, we packed out the entire church parking lot. We had to use TxDOT that was across the street. They had about 80 parking spaces. Packed that out, had to shuttle them back over, filled that up, went and packed down out two church parking lots that weren't even at the, you know, weren't part of the revival or anything like that. Packed out their church parking lots and bussed them back and forth. Just got off the phone with a guy this morning while I was on the way to your church. He said, hey, man, I was at the gas station. This guy told me that he's a member of the church, one of the churches we use their parking lots. He said, man, he said his son has been wanting to fall through and be baptized because he hadn't been baptized, and we don't baptize our church. He said, can he come to your church and get baptized this morning? So I'm telling you, folks, God is moving. This stuff happens. Y'all better get ready. It's about to go down, all right? And let me tell you how we're going to do this, okay? I know that you know that we have different emphasis nights. We have, Monday night's going to be student emphasis night. Tuesday night's going to be children's emphasis night. Do not think that's all that the service is for. All that's happening is we're just feeding the students before the service. That's all that's going on. The service is for everybody, okay? So does everybody understand that? Everybody on the same page on that? So you be here because you want to see this. Because I guarantee you, every single service, you're going to see stuff that you've never seen before in church. Matter of fact, on Wednesday night, you're going to see something happen Wednesday night that you have, I don't care how long you've been in church, you will never have seen what you're going to see happen here on Wednesday night. I don't care what church you've gone to, how long you've gone to, you will see something happen here that's going to blow your mind on Wednesday night. But you need to be here, all right? And so here's what we're going to do. I told you we're doing a special emphasis night for the students each night. We're doing, tomorrow night, we're doing student emphasis night before the service, feeding them pizza. On Tuesday night, we're doing it for children, feeding them pizza before the service. But I always thought, because I've been traveling now for 28 years, all right, been all over the world speaking, preaching, and I thought, you know what, we do stuff for students all the time. Why don't we do something for adults? So I thought, okay, so what do we as adults like? Men, what do we like? We don't like pizza. We like steak. Amen? And ladies, y'all like not to have to cook out, for us or clean up after our nasty self. Amen? So everybody wins on this deal. So here's what you do. How many of you have invited friends to church before and they said they were going to come, but then they stiff you? Raise your hand. Now, if they're sitting beside you, don't raise your hand. All right. All right, listen. So I got stiff. I'm a member of a church just like you are. So I'd invite my friends to come to church, my buddies I rope with and stuff like that. They say, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Then they don't show up. So I thought, okay, we're going to have to do something about that. So what we're doing is on Wednesday night, we're having steak night. All right. I'm not talking about some Salisbury steak. We're having good steak, right? Huh? Sirloin? Dude, when we were at your dad's church in Bridgeport, or when we were with you at Bridgeport, I've done this, do you understand, 28 years? I've done steak all over the place. Bridgeport, when I was with them, top three ever steaks. Huge. You remember them jokers? They went to, what was that town, that German town? They went and got the steaks. Oh, man, it was... I'm talking huge steaks, best steak. You don't need no A&1 on it, nothing. I would gnaw the bone off of that thing. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. So we need to make sure we get a good steak. So we're having steak, baked potato, salad, the whole nine yards. All right, here's what you do. These steak tickets, I know that some of y'all maybe kind of want to do these for free, thinking you're doing something good. Let's give them out to everybody in the community and all that kind of stuff. But then here's what happens. You do that. I can't tell you how many people's going to show up. Then you're going to have not enough steak. That's going to be a bad thing. So what we do, and we do this everywhere we go, we did this at Cowboy Church last week, you sell the steak tickets for $3 each to y'all folks, all right? So you buy a steak for you and your family, the kids, sixth grade and under, they're going to eat free, they're going to eat tube steak, all right? That's hot dogs, all right? Because we're feeding them pizza, you know, and all that kind of stuff, so they're getting good stuff, y'all getting ripped off, y'all not getting anything to steak night. All right, so here's what happens. You sell steak tickets, and who's our lady selling steak tickets today after church? Who's? Guy, Mark. Where's Mark? Mark's right there. Mark's going to be selling steak tickets right after church, right there at that table. So you go out there and you buy them for $3 each. What you do is, and you just ask God, God, how many steak tickets you want me to buy? And God will just impress on you a certain amount, besides for your family. So you go up to your friend, and my friend in Louisiana, his name's Kent Aguilar. God impressed on his heart to buy 6 extra tickets. So he bought 6 extra tickets. He went to his friends, and you go up to him and you say, hey, I bought this steak ticket for you and your family. I want you to come be my guest. Now, when they know you bought it, they're not going to lie to you and say they're going to show up and then not show up. All right? They're going to either come or they will turn you down right there on the spot. So my friend Kent went up to him, said all that, said, hey, I bought this ticket for you. I want you to come be my guest. Said, man, I can't come. I got to work. So he went to friend after friend after friend after friend. Kept getting shoot down. I mean, just shot down, just boom, 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 boom. Finally, on Wednesday, this is steak night. Wednesday, his truck broke down. He's sitting there, this young mechanic, his early 20s, working on his truck. He thought, you know what? Might as well invite this guy. All my other friends, they're not coming. So he said to the young mechanic, he said, hey, we're having steak at our church tonight. I got some steak tickets I bought. He said, you want to come be my guest? The guy, without hesitation, said, yep, took both his tickets. Young mechanic, he said, hey, you got any more? My friend Kent said, yeah, I got some more. He said, how many more you need? He said, I need 6 tickets total. Kent gave him 6 tickets. That night, that young mechanic brought 3 young couples in their early 20s. All 3 couples gave their lives to Christ. That's what it's about. That's why we're doing it. That's why we do it the way we do it. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all do this, it will be huge. I told you last week at Cowboy Church, y'all think I'm lying, look it up in Corsicana newspaper. It was in the newspaper this weekend. We baptized just on Wednesday night. Minimum, they didn't start counting for a while, but we baptized a minimum of 130 people on one night. I'm telling you, it's going to be unbelievable. Just moving about whole families getting saved. I'm talking about dad, mom, kids, everybody. That's what this thing is about, okay? So get your steak tickets after church right out there, and we're going to have a good time this week, and we're going to see a lot of people saved. And we also need some volunteers to drive tonight because the students are going to go out, and they're going to kidnap their friends, and they'll bring them to church. And like I said, service is for everybody, okay? So, but we're just doing some stuff for them. At 5 o'clock, if you got a big vehicle, or I don't care if you got a Toyota Prius or whatever them things are, bring that thing. We can get 2 or 3 people in them thing, all right? Look like a clown car, people coming out of it and stuff. But bring that thing. Be here at 5 o'clock because they're going to go kidnap their friends. And let me tell you what happened just a few months ago. Everybody thinks this isn't important. This isn't no big deal. Some students went out. A little eighth grade girl went and got her friend that was in eighth grade to come to church with her. Her eighth grade friend gave her heart to Christ. As soon as she gave her heart to Christ, she came back the next night to be baptized. Her mom came to see her baptized. Guess what happened? Her mom got saved. Her mom came the next night for her to be baptized. She brought her coworker. Her coworker got saved and was baptized. It all started snowball effect because one eighth grade girl went and got her friend. I want to encourage you. This is going to be incredible. You need to have your people here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's see what the Word of God says. By the way, my name is Ronnie, and I'm from Haslett, Northwest Fort Worth, and I've got a wife named Jennifer. We've been married now. We just had our anniversary. We've been married for 14 years and got a little boy named Jake who just turned 11. And so he's all fired up, and he just won a grand champion heifer and grand champion junior showmanship at our little county show up there in North Fort Worth. So we're getting ready for Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. Amen. Anybody y'all going to the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo? All right. Here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sin. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to move right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you draw people to yourself, that you save people, change people's lives. For those that are in here that have never had a relationship with you, God, that you would speak to them and draw them to yourself. We give you honor and praise and glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to start y'all off with a little trivia question this morning, get y'all kind of your brain flowing, everybody thinking. And if you can get this right, you will get two free steak tickets. Okay, so this is for two free steak tickets. Does anybody in here know who is in the World Series? And by the way, students, you can't cheat by Googling and looking on your phones. If I catch you, look down. I see you look at y'all. Y'all already trying. Yeah, put it down. If I catch you, look down, you're disqualified. All right? So here it is. Does anybody know who is in the World Series in 1924? And, hey, students, you can still know this. Oh, dude. Y'all laughing. Do you know their original name? Do you know their original name? No? Do you? Bam! Right there, but he's cheating because he got your name. Yeah. I tell you what, we'll let you split. I'll let you get one ticket, and I'll let him get the other. If he can name the other one, if either one of you can name the other team, I'll let y'all split the two tickets. Can you name the other team they were playing in 1924? Who? Yankees? No, that's a good guess. It was one of them was a New York team. Do you know it? It's you. It's on you whether you get two tickets. Come on. You got to guess. It's a New York team. Come on. He's like, are y'all kidding me? There's no New York Dodgers. No, it was the New York Giants. New York Giants. Okay, so... And he's right. Y'all sitting there thinking he's not. No, here's the trivia, okay? If you like trivia and baseball and all that stuff. Old Washington Centers were based in Washington, D.C. They split off, became the new Washington Centers, moved to Minnesota. The old Washington Centers dissolved. The new Washington Centers ended up moving down to present-day Arlington, Texas, about 30, 40 minutes from my house where you got the present-day Texas Rangers. So technically you could say we won a World Series. Because that's about the only way we're going to do it. So here you go. Yeah, the old Washington Senators playing the New York Giants is an incredible series. It was tied three games each going the final and seventh game. Fans are going nuts. I mean, here was their shot at winning the World Series. So they think, man, we can do this. You go to the bottom of the eighth inning, scores tied 2-2. Series tied up 3 each. First batter up for the Senators, or up for the Giants. First batter for the Giants in the top of the ninth, he gets out. Second batter, he gets out. Third batter, he gets out. Bottom of the ninth, score tied 2-2. Fans are on their feet. They're going nuts. Here's their shot. They just got to score one run. They win the World Series. First batter up for the Senators, he gets out. Second batter up for the Senators, he gets out. Third batter for the Senators, if you could pick anybody on your team that you'd want to play right now, it was this guy. His name was Goose Gosling. He was MVP of the series. He'd already hit like 4 or 5 home runs, I believe, up to this point. He steps up the plate. They throw the first ball right down the pipe, strike one. Next pitch, another meat pitch, strike two. He has an 0-2 count. Next two pitches are balls. He gets a 2-2 count with two outs, bottom of the ninth, scored tied 2-2, series tied up 3 each. You understand, there's only one more pitch that can get you any more bottom of the ninth. I mean, this is it. Next pitch comes down the plate, Goose steps into it, hits the ball. I'm not talking a blooper, I'm talking a shot to left center. And if it was on ESPN today, the announcer says, back. Everybody knows it's going to be another home run by Goose Gosling. He rounds first, head to second. The ball comes down, hits 6 inches from the top of the left center field fence. It ricochets back into outfield. Center fielder, left fielder, chasing the ball down now. Goose rounds second, head to third. Third base coach realizes this might be the only chance they had to score. So he waves him home. As he's bringing Goose home, center fielder takes the ball, throws into shortstop. Shortstop relays into catcher. Catcher is standing over home plate. Goose is now sliding. He has clearly beat the throw by at least 2 steps. As he's sliding, catcher catches him, tags him. Umpire says, "You're out." And when he did, the fans went nuts. They started throwing all kinds of trash and debris on the field, cussing the umpires out, threatening to kill them, like a lot of your little league games around here. I know how y'all are. I know how you parents can get, and grandparents. And so everybody in the field, they knew what was going to happen. I mean, everybody saw he beat the throw by 2 steps. So the umpires went out to the pitcher's mound for a conference, probably because it was the safest place on the field at that time. And so everybody in the stands knew what was going to happen. I mean, everybody knew, okay, the other one's going to say, "Hey, dude, he was saved." He's like, "Oh, really? I had dirt in my eye? Okay, he'll be saved. He'll score to win the World Series." That's what everybody's thinking. 15 minutes goes by. Head umpire comes out. And this is still debated to this day. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? The runner is still out, but not because of play at the plate. The runner's out because he missed first base." And just like Goose was called out that day because he missed first base, there's a lot of people in this auditorium. You stand before a holy God on Judgment Day, you're going to be called out and sent to hell. Not because you weren't religious, not because you didn't go to church, not because you didn't throw money in the plate or you weren't baptized, but because you missed first base spiritually. So, Ronnie, how can I miss first base spiritually? A lot of people do it. Satan has deceived people all over this world, thinking as long as they're a good person, good old boy, they get to go to heaven. That's a lie. And I want to show you right here what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, how you and I can hit first base spiritually. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says this: "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sin." See, Ryan, what does that mean? Death came through one man, all sin because of one man? All right, hold your place in Romans 5. Go back to about page 2 in your Bible. Remember I told you about page 2. It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, 15. The Bible says this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Does everybody understand the parameters that God set up in the garden? He told Adam and Eve, "Hey, Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but you eat from this one, you're going to die." He didn't say you might die. He said you will die. Everybody got that? I mean, it's pretty clear. It's simple. It's not confusing. You can eat from every tree, but if you eat from this one, you'll die. Now let's pick up the story. Let's see what happens. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says this: "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Oh, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the trees in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die.'" Verse 4. "You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." All right, let's just stop there for a second. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here, I mean anybody, that is never, ever physically going to die? Now take the second coming of Jesus out of the picture. Take that out of the picture. I'm talking about just, is anybody here never, ever physically going to die? You're never going to get cancer. You're never going to be in a car wreck. If you're in a car wreck, your body just automatically heal itself. You're never going to have another birthday, because the more birthdays you have, the older you get, the more your organs wear out. Anybody here never going to die? Church, we're all going to die? We're going to die? So what's that make Satan? A liar. That joker, Jesus said, he's been lying from the get-go. Jesus called him the father of all lies. And he's lying to you. And you know, you say, how is he lying to me? How is he lying to me? Let me tell you what he's doing to you. He's going to say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go forward and do all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, you're a good person. You never killed anybody. You get to go to heaven. He's a liar. Don't let him lie to you and deceive you like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. Pastor, do you do funerals here in this church? Do you know that every time the pastor does a funeral here in this church, it's proof, it's evident, Satan is a liar. Because he said, we won't die. We die. We know that. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in just a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Christ to come to your life, for you to repent and turn from your sins and commit your life to him. Say, hey, I'm going to serve you forever. If you've never done that before, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And here's what Satan's going to do. You don't need to do that. You really don't. People are going to look at you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to talk about you. He's going to lie to you and he's going to say all that stuff. Hey, listen, I've been doing this a long time. I've been traveling full time for 28 years. I have never, ever seen somebody come forward during church, give their life to Christ, and people laugh at them. Never seen that. You know what I have seen? I've seen tears of joy for people that are making that decision. I've seen other people in the congregation, tears that I've prayed for that person for years and years, and now they finally come. I've seen that happen. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have that opportunity to do that in just a minute, right where you're seated. So let's pick up the story, and let's see what happens from there. Verse 6. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both them were open, and they realized they were, and we're all from Texas here, so we say naked. So they realized they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What happened? God said, you can eat from any tree, but you eat from that one, you're going to die. Satan said, you're not going to die. Eve says, well, it looks good. She took some, she ate it, gave some to Adam, he ate it, then boop, they realized they don't have any clothes on, and they went and hid in the garden. Are y'all with me at this point, church? Hold your place in Genesis. Go all the way back now to Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. Who's the one man? Adam. And it says, and death through sin. And this way death came to all men because all sin. Folks, here's what the Word of God is saying. From that one action in the garden where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, from that one action, sin entered into the world. But not only did sin enter the world, death also entered into the world as a result of their sin. You're saying, Ronnie, you're sitting here telling us today because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden? Because of what they did. That's why I've inherited sin? Yep. He said, because I've inherited sin because of what they did, that's why I'm physically going to die one day? Yep. He said, Ronnie, that's not fair. Right? That's just not fair. Ronnie, if that had been me that day in the garden, I wouldn't have eaten from the tree. Oh, yes, you would have. You said, oh, no, Ronnie, I stayed like 50 yards away from that tree. I wouldn't even come close to that tree. Please, y'all can't even come to church this morning without sinning. And you're going to tell me you're going to be in the garden all those years and never sin? I guarantee you, 90% of you ladies, y'all sin before you even got out the house this morning. Oh, yes, especially those y'all have kids. Don't act like you don't act all spiritual and like, oh no, no preacher, we love Jesus. We all worship, we love. We got a little church clothes on, we all ooh, hallelujah. We do all. No, I guarantee, did this or did this not take place in your home? Hey, I know I got a boy. I know. So did this or did this not take place in your home this morning? This morning you get in there in the little dinner table and you got the little boy at the breakfast table getting his little fruity pebbles. And there's a prize in those fruity pebbles. And you told him, you cannot have that prize till all the fruity pebbles are gone. So what do? As soon as you walk out of the room, he gets his grubby little paw, sticks it down there, grabs that prize, pulls it out, fruity pebbles all over the place. So now you're having to get your little dust busting. You're vacuuming it up and stuff. And then your other little boy, he runs in your closet, gets a brand new pair of pantyhose, puts on his head, rips your pantyhose. He's running around playing cops and robbers. Pow, 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 shooting everybody in the house. And during all the midst of all this, your little girl gets a brand new tube of lipstick. Your tube, I mean brand new, expensive, smears all over her face. He said, Mama, don't look pretty. Look at this, Mama. You do all that. And what's Daddy doing in the middle of all that? Hey, can you people be quiet in there? I work hard for this family. All I ask for is one day, the Lord's day, to have some peace and quiet, to read the sports section and watch a little ESPN. Is that too much to ask? And so all this fighting and commotion going on in the house and stuff. And so finally, ladies, you're in the bathroom and you're putting that little black stuff on your eyes, whatever that black stuff is, and you put it on there. And your husband walks in and says, honey, we got to go. You know if we're late, you know we're going to be late. All the good seats on one side of the church are going to be taken up, and we're going to sit by all them pagans over on the other side. And what'd you say? What'd you say to your husband? Honey, I'll be ready in a minute. That's a lie. You lied to your husband, because there is not a woman on this planet that can get ready in a minute. So you lied. You ain't got out of the house yet. All the men are going, that's right. Preach it. Preach it. Honey, you'll drag me to church? There it is. He's talking to you. Go ahead, get right. Get down to the altar, get right. That's what he's talking to you. Hey, but man, we sin too, don't we? I mean, I'm preaching the pulpit. I got to tell the truth, do I not? I got to tell the truth. So I'm just going to be honest with y'all, okay? Just because we're preachers don't mean we're more spiritual than everybody else and we're all like on this highlight, we're some super saint. We sin just like everybody else. I mean, we sin, I mess up. There are a lot of sins I deal with. I'm going to tell you something, but there's one I deal with every single day. It is hard for me to get in my house in Haslett and drive from my house to DFW Airport on this little highway called 114. It is a 6-lane highway. Guess what the speed limit is? 55. 55 miles an hour. Not like out here where I'm driving down here. 75 miles an hour. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm coming to church. No, not like that on 114. No, 114 is 55. It goes from, there's one part that goes from 55 to 40. 40 on a 6-lane highway. Do you understand? I could jump out of my truck and run backwards at 40 miles an hour. I'm thinking, why does it go from 55 to 40 miles an hour? Police officer told me. But it was because there's a hill there. There's a hill. And so people come in the other direction, can't see us coming. I'm like, well, don't punish us. Give them a mirror. Shoot it down the hill for them so they can see us coming. Oh, but no. So guess what? My speeding ticket, pay for that thing to be changed. Now there's a red light there. Speed limit's back up to 55. So here we are on the way to church, right? We're on the way to church this morning. Everybody's whipping in here and cutting everybody off. And I'm talking about here in the church parking lot. People driving like that. No, listen, if you're going to drive like that, take them little Jesus fish off your truck. Some of y'all got them Jesus. Some of y'all got a whole guppy, a bunch of guppy family, you know. So, some of y'all got the cowboy kneeling at the cross, you know, like this right here with the reins behind him. Hey, listen, you're going to drive like that? Take that stuff off your truck. I don't have none on mine. Because I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. So there's no way I can put that on my truck. Now, listen, you want to put something on your truck? Put on there a bumper sticker says, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, follow me to church. Do something like that. No, I'm just playing. but don't drag the name of Jesus through the mud. I mean, we all sin. All the students are going, that's right. Preach to my parents. They always preach to me, so preach to them. Kids, you sin too. Don't act like you don't sin. No, you say, oh, no, I don't sin. I don't sin. You got stuff, your mom and dad tell you, hey, go clean your room. And you say, but it is clean. And you got stuff growing there that EPA don't even know what it is. Hey, listen, your brother or sister that's been missing for 2 weeks, don't put the picture on a milk carton. No, clean your room. They're under your bed. That's where they are. All right? See, but here's the thing. We all sin. You sin, I sin, we all do. There's nobody in this place better than anybody else. We all sin. Especially everybody up on the stage. They all, Jerry, Joker, he sins. Pastor sins. Piano player is the worst sinner in the whole place. We all sin. Don't think just because somebody's up here on the stage or something, we're better than anybody else. We all sin. And the Bible says the consequence of our sin is death and hell. That's what we deserve because we've sinned against a holy, righteous God. So, man, we're in a dilemma. What are we going to do? Because there ain't nobody here better than anybody. We've all sinned. So what are we going to do? You want some good news? This is what you came for today. This is what you need to hear right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says this. For if by the trespass... Now, is that talking about somebody getting on somebody else's land? Is that what it's talking about? No, it's talking about the sin. So in other words, for if by the trespass or the sin of the one man... And we said the one man was who? Adam. All right. Yeah, and Eve did too. So, for by the trespass of the sin of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Folks, here's the good news. Listen, one man, the word of God is saying here, one man, Adam, brought us sin, death, and destruction, but one man, Jesus, brought us life, grace, righteousness, peace, purpose, meaning, hope, eternal life. One man brought us down, but one man, Jesus, brought us up. I don't know why that's so hard to understand. Why is it so hard to understand? It's through the blood of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. That's it. There's no other way. You say, well, Ronnie, wait. I got a bone to pick with you. You said it's through the blood of Jesus our sins are forgiven, right? Yep. You say, okay, but you said Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? Uh-huh. You say, okay, so since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we've been separated from God since then, right? Yeah. You say, okay, what about all those people from Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus? If it's taking blood to get forgiveness of sin, then it should always take blood to get forgiveness of sin. Hey, guess what? It has always taken blood to get forgiveness of sin. You don't believe me? Go back one more time to Genesis, all right? Genesis chapter 3. Now, I'm going to catch you up on the speed, and then I'm going to read one verse to you. Okay, you ready? Do you remember in the garden, God told Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You eat from this one, you're going to die. Satan said, you won't die. Eve says, it looks good. She took some. She ate it, gave some to Adam. He ate it. They realized they don't have any clothes on. They went and hid in the garden. Okay? God comes walking by in the cool of the day in Genesis chapter 3. He says, Adam, Eve, where are you?
We're over here.
Over where?
Behind these bushes.
Well, what are you doing behind the bushes?
Duh. We don't have any clothes on.
Who told you I have any clothes on? You ate from the tree, didn't you? Come here. So he calls them out. Now, they've been back there making clothes out of fig leaves. Why fig leaves? I have no idea. Can I ask a question? Do we have any fig pickers in here? Anybody ever picked any figs before? Raise your hand. If you picked some figs, raise your hand. Got two fig pickers? Three? All right, you pick some figs. Can I get a witness from my fig pickers in here that fig leaves are itchy? Are they not? So tell me something. Why are they using fig leaves to make clothes? That just goes to show one of two things. Either one, they just don't have no common sense. Or two, it's the first bush they come to. That's the only thing I can think of. So they're back there and they made these clothes out of fig leaves. And they're coming out there and they're like, they're itching and stuff. And like... And God's like, really? Out of everything I created, seriously, really? So he said, all right, Adam. He said, because you disobeyed me and you ate from the tree, I'm pronouncing a curse on you. So from now on, men from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, they're going to have to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week to earn a paycheck, to put food on the table, because of what you did today here in the garden. What was Adam's response? But God, wasn't me. It's that woman you gave me. God said, I know. He said, all right, Eve, hang on, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. I got one lady catching that. Not finished. He said, all right, Eve, because you got Adam and Eve from this tree, and you connived him or something, I'm going to pronounce a curse on you. So from now on, women from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, every time they go to have a baby, they're going to have an epidural because of what you did today here in the garden. What was Eve's response? But God, it wasn't me. It was that snake. God said, I know. He said, all right, serpent, because you lied to them You got them to eat from this tree, I'm pronouncing a curse on you. So from now on, men from all over the world, from every tribe, nation, language, every time they see your skinny, nasty little head, they're going to get a shovel, a hoe, a shotgun, a machete, club, something. They're going to stomp on your head. They're going to kill you from here on out. Unless you get lucky, you run one of them jokers on the Discovery Channel. They might let you slide. Everybody else is going to kill you. What did the snake say? But God, it wasn't me. It was that dirt. not for real. But do you see what everybody's doing? What's everybody doing? Trying to blame somebody else for their own sin, right? Hey, church, has anything changed today? Hey, pick up a newspaper. Judge, it's not my fault I shot and killed all those people. It's society's fault. Oh, judge, it's not my fault I drowned my kids. It's my parents' fault. Oh, judge, it's not my fault I did this. Somebody else's. And what's the word of God saying? It's not society's fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It is your fault. You have sinned against a holy, righteous God. So what did God have to do? Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Look with me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now, if you hunt, you probably caught that. If you don't hunt, let me break it down for you. For the first time in the garden where the lion and the lamb could play together, God had to take an innocent little lamb. He had to slit his throat. He had to hang him up from a tree, skin him out, and use the skin from that lamb to make clothes for Adam. Why did he have to do that? Because of sin. And because of sin, blood was shed in the garden. And in the garden, it was one lamb for one man. But it didn't stop there. You remember when the children of Israel in Egypt, and they were slavery to Pharaoh, and they cried out, God save us, God rescue us. God heard the cry, sent Moses down to get the people out of Egypt. Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let them go. So what did God do? God sent plague after plague after plague after plague. Finally, God said, I'm fed up with them. He said, Moses, you tell Pharaoh, if he don't let my people go, I'm coming through tonight, and I'm going to kill the firstborn male. Well, it's an animal or a human being. Firstborn male dies throughout Egypt tonight. He said, but Moses, you tell my people. If they'll take a lamb. They'll slit its throat. They'll drain the blood into a bowl. They'll take a branch. They'll dip in that blood. They'll go to the front of the door. They'll wipe the blood on the side of their door, on the top of the door, and on the other side of the door. Then when I get to their church, their house tonight, church, and I see the what? The blood. I will pass over. That's where we get Passover from. I will pass over and spare their whole family. Do you see the progression? In the garden, one lamb for one man. In Egypt, one lamb spared a family, but didn't stop there. God delivered the children of Israel. They got out of Egypt. They were out in the wilderness. God said, we're going to set up a portable church building. We're going to call it a tabernacle. There's going to be an outer court out there. That's where the altar is. That's where the sacrifice is going to be made. There's going to be an inner court, place of worship in here. He said, but Moses, there's going to be a place back here called the Holy of Holies. Moses, nobody could come back here. Any of y'all seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember the ark that he was trying to get? That's what was back here. He said, this is where I'm going to show up. This is where I'm going to manifest my presence. He said, Moses, the only person that could come back here is your brother Aaron, the high priest. He can only come one day a year. And when he comes back, he has to wear special clothes, go through special ceremonial cleansings. And when he comes back to my presence, I want him to bring with him blood from a lamb. And I want him to sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, for the forgiveness of sin for the entire nation of Israel. Folks, do you see that? In the garden, it was one lamb for one man. In Egypt, one lamb spared a family. In the wilderness, one lamb got forgiveness of sin for an entire nation of Israel. But if it stopped there, you and I still would be without hope for two reasons. Number one, the majority of us in here, we're not Israelites. Number two, if you were an Israelite, according to the law, the Torah required a blood sacrifice. Guess what? When I pulled up in church this morning, I ain't seen stock trailers out there. I ain't seen anybody load up stock trailers, have calves, goats, lambs, sheep, nothing like that. So how are you going to get forgiveness of sin? Because the Bible requires blood sacrifice. So here's what happened. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were separated from God. God's whole plan was to bring us back to a right relationship with Him. So what He did was He sent prophet after prophet saying a Messiah was coming, a Savior of the world. And in Isaiah it said He was going to be bruised for our transgressions. By His stripes, we would be healed. So finally, the last Old Testament prophet is preaching, John the Baptist. As John the Baptist is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he's preaching this, he looks up, he sees Jesus coming. Do you know his exact words were in John 1:29? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the entire world. The world, folks. That's why we can have forgiveness of sin, because Jesus is the final blood sacrifice, once and for all mankind. Church, what's the song we sing? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the foe that makes me white as snow. It's always taking blood to get forgiveness of sin. And if your sins have never been covered by the blood of Jesus, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is in this church or this community. If your sins have never been covered by the blood of Jesus, you have missed first base spiritually. I don't care who you are. No matter how well you round second, third, and you're on your way home, and you've done all this good for the community, the church, your life, and all that, you miss first base spiritually, nothing else matters. And God knows. And I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning right here to hit first base spiritually. Say, how? I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute. It's not a magical prayer. We're not blessing the food. We're not praying, now lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about if you have never repented and turned from your sins and committed your life to Him. You know, it's kind of like in a poker game. A lot of people, they just ante up in a poker game, all that. I'm talking about putting your chips all in. Say, hey, I'm all in on this Jesus. If you've never done that before and you would like to repent and turn from your sins, invite Him to come into your life to be your boss and Lord and Savior, for you to know for sure that you've hit first base spiritually. If you've never done that before, I'm going to pray a prayer and it's going to go like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I've messed up. And God, I want to turn from my sins and I want to invite You into my life to be my boss, my Lord, my Savior, my best friend. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. And thank You for saving me, Lord Jesus. If you've never done that before and you would like to, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer right where you're seated and invite Him to come into your life if you've never done that before. You say, well, Ronnie, okay, so if I do that, what's that mean? Here's what it means. The Bible says, last of all, and then we're done. In Romans chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says this. Look with me, Romans 5, 21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, Ronnie, what does that mean? Here's what it means. If you pray that prayer with me in just a minute, you commit your life to Christ, you repent and turn from your sins and believe in Jesus. He says, when you die, you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. And all your sins will be wiped away. Man, I'm going to tell you something. That's good news. You can walk out of here different than you came in today. You can walk out of here with peace and joy that you've never had before. There was a 17-year-old girl that was raped by an 18-year-old guy. And as a result of the rape, she became pregnant. And she could have, according to people in Washington, she should go get an abortion. Matter of fact, the lady tried to get her to go to an abortion clinic. She said, no, I'm going to have the baby. 9 months later, she had a little boy. That little boy is me. And I want you to know, I'm not here by accident. Just like you're not here by accident. And I'm not talking about in this church today. I'm talking about you're not here on this planet by accident. You're alive and breathing because God desires a relationship with you. That's why you're here. It's because He wants a relationship. That's why you were created. But see, if you don't have that relationship with Him, then the very reason that you were created, it doesn't exist right now. So that's why you don't have any peace and purpose, and you keep looking for all this other stuff. But the bottom line is, you've sinned against God, and you're separated from Him. But God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus out of heaven, down this earth, to die on a cross to pay for all your sins so you can have a relationship with Him. My life verse now is Genesis 50, verse 20, which says, what you intend to harm for me, God intended for the good, for the saving of many souls. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I set you apart. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Do you understand? That's what my God desires with you. He desires a relationship with you because he loves you and he cares about you. But if you don't have a relationship with him right now, that purpose, that meaning is not there. But you can have it today. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you want to, you want to hit first base spiritually, you want to know that when you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven, you want to ask him to forgive you of everything you've ever done, I'm going to pray that prayer. And right where you're seated, you can invite Christ to come to your life. And hey, listen, remember, I told you, we have made it for sure this earlier. Satan is a liar. Do not let Satan lie to you, deceive you, say, what's everybody going to think? Look at this. You gone to church here all your life? Satan is a liar. Okay? There's not going to be anybody focused on you. They're going to be worried about themselves, thinking, do I need to do this? So don't let him lie to you and deceive you. Because we've discovered he's a liar. Walk out of here with peace. Walk out of here with joy today. Would you do me a favor? Can you give me 2 minutes? Nobody get up. Nobody leave. Nobody talk. No ushers. No deacons. Nobody. Give me 2 minutes. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're saying, Ronnie, I've never done that before. I've missed first base spiritually, and I want to hit it today. If that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would like to pray and invite Christ to come to your life, then you pray that prayer for me that I mentioned earlier, right where you're seated, and you just invite Christ to come to your life to be your boss, Lord, and Savior. Pray that prayer with me right now if you've never done this before. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've messed up. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And God, I turn from my sins. And I invite you into my life to be my boss and my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one's looking around, I want to ask you a question. If you just prayed that prayer with me just now, for the first time in your life that you understood what you're doing, that you meant business, you might have gone to church before or walked down the aisle, but you said, Ron, no, this is the first time I understood. I meant business. I hit first base spiritually. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I don't believe in that. I just won't pray for you. If you say, Ron, that's me. I just prayed that prayer. Would you do me a favor? Would just those of you that prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you just look up at me real quick? Let me catch your eyes. Say, Ron, that's me. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Got you, sweetie. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, right here. Got you, buddy. Anybody else in this section right here? Say, Ron, that's me. I just prayed that prayer. Just look up at me. Let me catch your eyes. All right. Got you, buddy. Anybody in this section? Yes, ma'am. Anybody over here? You say, Ronnie, I prayed that prayer. Just look up at me. Let me catch your eyes. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Got you in the back. Anybody else? Got you, buddy. All right. Would you do me a favor? Would just those of you that pray that prayer, yes, ma'am, would just those that pray that prayer, would you just keep looking up at me just for a second? Everybody else's heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to share something with you from the Word of God real quick. Just those that prayed that prayer. I want you to know this. According to what the Bible says, all of you that prayed that prayer and invited Christ to come to your life, the Bible says that God has forgiven you of everything you have ever done. Man, that's good news, isn't it? I mean, he's forgiven you of every single thing you have ever done. You say, okay, so he's done that. What's that mean? That means now he's come to live in you. He'll never leave you. The Bible says in Psalms, though my mother or father forsake me, he says, I never will. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people leave us in our lives, whether it's they die, whether they, you know, we go on, do something else. He says, but I never will. I'll never leave you. Man, that's good news. And you also need to know this, that when you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You say, okay, so what does it mean now that I've done this? Well, here's what Jesus said. Now, this is the one who died on the cross for you. This is the one who forgave you of your sin. Jesus said this. He said, if you confess me before men, in Matthew 10, 32, and 33, he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He says, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father who's in heaven. I don't know about you. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. You say, okay, so what do I do? Here's what's going to happen. In just a second, we're going to stand, all of this building, with heads bowed and eyes closed. When we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, as soon as I say amen, I'm going to be up here. Matter of fact, I'll be right here. Pastor, would you do me a favor? Pastor's going to be over here on this side. He'll be here. I'll be here. You come to me. I'll meet you at either aisle. You come to the pastor. All you have to say is, hey, Pastor, I pray that prayer. You say, what are we going to do? We have people called encouragers. And by the way, if you're looking up at me and you're an encourager and you invited Christ to come to your heart, man, do not worry about talking to anybody. We got that covered. You get this right first, then you can start counseling tonight. Right now, you're saying, I just prayed that prayer and I invited Christ to come to my life. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to just take it to the side. We're going to pray with you, give you some material. And if you're new here and you don't have a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible. If you are been here for your whole life, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to write in your Bible on the front page today's date that you gave your life to Christ. Because Satan's going to come to you and he's going to lie to you and he says, you're not a Christian. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did today. You just go over there and say, no, according to what the Bible says, I'm forgiven my sin and here's the day I did it right here. All right? I want to encourage you to do that. So when we stand, I pray, I say amen, and he leads us in singing, you step out and come. And by the way, I just need to know this real quick. If you're an encourager or counselor, now I'm not talking about the ones if you prayed to receive Christ this morning. I'm talking about if you're already a believer and if you're a counselor, could you raise your hand, look at me, let me see how many we got in the house today. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need every one that we have to come, if you don't mind. So we can, you say, what are we going to do? We're just going to introduce folks. We're going to pray with you, give that material, and be excited for you. Listen, don't let Satan lie to you. This is from right here on. It's a new day, okay? So can you do me a favor? Can we all please stand out with heads bowed and eyes closed? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As soon as I say amen, I need you to step out and come. And all of you that are counselors and encouragers, as soon as I say amen, counselors and encouragers, look at me. Counselors, encouragers, as soon as I say amen, you step out and come, stay on this front row, here and right here. And we're going to introduce you to some folks. You take them out the side, pray with them, give them the material, and give them a Bible if they don't have a Bible, okay? Can we pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you for those that trust you as the Lord and Savior. I pray you give them courage and boldness to take a stand for you right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As they sing, you come on right now.